was a robber. First time that he saw me. Stealing hearts and running.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. Watching a little baseball as the Tigers lead Cleveland 1-0 in the Game 3, the final game of this wild card. Three series have gone to Game 3, so we'll keep an eye on this one. They moved all the start times back a little bit because the Dodgers advanced through. But big night tonight, Locker.
I thought we were going to have three game threes in the wild card. Get it out of your system.
Big night tonight, Locker.
Get it out of your system.
Huge night. Where are you going to be at 10 o'clock tonight? You're probably
I'm not going to be doing what you're doing.
You're going to be sleeping, aren't you?
Yeah, that's usually...
I'll have 42 minutes at 10 o'clock to catch up on Taylor Swift's latest album.
Wow.
We began the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, with the Riders depth chart. And yes, indeed, it'll be Campbell Fair kicking field goals tomorrow in Ottawa.
And this one looks like it's going to be good.
Unbelievable.
And the GGs are going to win the game. You, Ottawa, will storm the field now after Campbell Fair with a clutch 55-yard field goal. Unbelievable.
Yes, he's back to where that kick was made against Carleton in the rivalry game, as Campbell Fair will get the kicking job this week with Brett Lawther on the injury report with a back injury.
What qualifies Jamie Nye as a successful evening for Campbell Fair?
Well, doesn't miss a kick.
So...
perfection.
Good luck, kid. Don't screw it up.
Actually, one missed kick, I think people would be like, okay, it's his first game. We'll give him a break. Two missed kicks, people are like, oh, doesn't matter who's kicking field goals. Darn it. Jeremy O'Day sucks. He needs to go find a kicker. That'll, if he misses two. If he misses three, yeah, I'd...
that, call the dump truck.
This post-game show is going to go for days and days on that one. But I'm very intrigued by what he does tomorrow in Campbell Fair. This is his first professional regular season game for this young man.
I'm glad he doesn't have to do it in Mosaic. Not that that's a bad thing, but I just think
that would be way stressful. Well, if he misses a kick at Mosaic, if he missed his first kick at Mosaic, you'd hear the boos, right?
Yeah.
But in Ottawa, nobody's...
The timing of this is rather suspicious, not that we need to go down that path again.
But other moves. CJ Revis moves to safety. Marcus Sales is going to be a game-time decision, but they did add another American defensive back in case he can't go. That'll be Sheldrick Redwine. And just in case the Canadian ratio doesn't work out, they are going to utilize the designated nationalized American rule with Mike Rose being the backup to Ali Saad, and
so you have to designate that ahead of time.
You have
too,
to designate
right?
that player okay. ahead of time. So that'll be Mike Rose tomorrow. He can play
23.
I hate this rule so much. 23 snaps, but he can play more than 23 snaps. His 23 snaps is if it's him, Micah Johnson, Malik Kearney, and Habakkuk Baldonado. If those four guys are the only defensive linemen on the field and you do not see Benoit Marion or Ali Saad on the field, that's one.
Okay.
But if Benoit Marion's out there with Mike Rose, or if Ali Saad is out there with Mike Rose, he is just replacing Micah Johnson or Caleb Sanders. So those snaps don't count.
That's really clear.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that again?
Yeah. No. We're moving on. Next on the starting lineup.
Who came up with this?
I would love to chat with that person at Grey Cup Week.
All right. Baseball. Three of the four wild card matchups, like we were saying, go the distance. And this one is driven to right. Judge going back. Still back right there at the wall. And redemption for the Yankees. They win it 4-3. And
and there will be a game three in this wild card series.
So the final there was Yankees 4, Red Sox 3. We'll get that game tonight at 6 o'clock. That might be our game of the night. Padres shutting out the Cubbies to tie up that series one game apiece, and then the Guardians all over the Tigers. They're on the field right now. That series is tied up at one game apiece. We'll keep you up to date on the score in the Tigers-Guardians game, if I'm not mistaken.
1-0 Tigers.
It's 1-0 Tigers. That's what I had.
As we go to the Dodgers, they are the one team that sweeps in the wild card round.
Yamamoto. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Yoshinobu Yamamoto escapes a bases loaded, no out jam.
Yeah, that little tight there for the LA Dodgers, but Mookie Betts had himself a night, 4-5. So LA, they sweep away the Reds in two games. Now it's up against the Philadelphia Phillies in the next round of the NLDS. So Shohei Ohtani will get the start in game
That's pretty
one.
Interesting.
That is awesome.
I do. I like that. I like that a lot.
I hope every baseball fan is enjoying it. Are we going to see this? Like, Babe Ruth was the last. That was 100 years ago. Like, are we going to see this in the next century? I'm not sure. I can't wait for game one, Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the L.A. Dodgers.
All right, we'll move over to back to football. Week 5, Thursday night, we got the 49ers in Los Angeles taking on the Rams.
Purdy, the screen to the left for Tonjes. And Jake Tonjes is in the end zone. Stafford looking, throws. Nacua with the catch and the touchdown.
6:15 start. Tonight, we got an NFC West division matchup. Both teams are 3-1. Is there not three teams in the NFC West that are 3-1? 49ers, pretty banged up right now. Looks like Mac Johnson is going to get the start.
Mac Jones
is going to get the start. I looked into Curtis Rourke's status just to sort of get an idea of where he's at. He had surgery on the ACL in January, and he's on the injury list, obviously, the non-football injury list for the 49ers. And Jamie doesn't think that there's a chance that they bring him back just based on the fact that they don't want to ruin a year of his eligibility.
He just got drafted. Keep him on the non-football because it was an injury suffered in college. That's why it's a non-football injury because it wasn't in the NFL when he did it.
Yeah.
So that's where he's parked right now. I would hate to force the kid in.
But a year,
injury.
Usually, right, for the ACL, 10 months?
It all depends on recovery. It can be anywhere 6 to 10 on how guys recover from it. So we'll see, but the Niners are a mess on the injury front. As we get to hockey, and Carter Hart rumors are heating up.
At this point in time, it sounds like Vegas is the favorite to land Carter Hart. You know, I think it will truly be a goaltending competition for starts as the season goes along there. So, you know, it does seem like things are headed in that direction.
That is Chris Johnston on his podcast, of course, TSN and Athletic NHL Insider. Yesterday, teams can agree to terms on contracts with the 5 players involved in the World Junior sexual assault case. Of course, they were all acquitted. They cannot sign a contract or register a contract until October the 15th, and then they cannot play a game until December 1st. But as Chris Johnston is reporting, it sounds more than likely that Carter Hart will end up with the Vegas Golden Knights, and with Aiden Hill's injury history, who knows how that'll shuffle out once he comes up to speed and getting back. So there is the latest on the Carter Hart story. Meanwhile, coming up next, we're going to keep it on baseball. The Jays tonight will find out who they are going to play in the American League Divisional Series. So, Jays fans, who do you want them to play? Who do you want to see win tonight between the Red Sox and Yankees? So they're traveling to Toronto on Saturday for game one of the American League Divisional Series. Who would your pick be for the Jays to play? 1-877-332-8255. Texas, give us a ring now on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Thursday afternoon on the Green Zone. I guess we're not taking Cooper's suggestion to only play Taylor Swift music today, but producer Scott, okay, that's his call, not mine, Cooper, so you can Send all your complaints to the producer, the Green Zone. I think Locker is in full support of
I am on Scotty's side there.
I think
nice work.
Yeah. There's a few of you out there who are probably like, thank you, producer Scott. I'm not one of them.
You know what? I have a strong, suspicious feeling that those who like Taylor Swift are going to be able to hear more than their share of it
for the next
6 months to a year.
Hey, you wanted her in the Super Bowl halftime show.
I didn't want her there. I just thought that was the natural.
When they announced Bad Bunny, you were all about Taylor Swift.
This is Travis Kelce's last year. It just makes sense.
Okay. Let's go to baseball. It's 1-1, by the way, Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians in the top of the fifth inning in that series. It ends today. Winner moves on to the next round to take on the Seattle Mariners. Tonight, the Boston Red Sox at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees.
6 o'clock start there. That time changed after the Dodgers took out the Red Sox in the wild card round.
The winner of that
one. Reds, sorry.
The winner goes up against the Blue Jays on Saturday. We're asking you, Jays fans, who do you want? Who do you want to see play the Blue Jays on Saturday, game one of the American League Divisional Series?
I'm going to keep track of the texts that come in, 877-332-8255. Luke says, I say the Yankees, the Jays can deal with the power. Boston has three great pitchers. Yankees are also prone to defensive mistakes. So one vote for the Yankees. And then Willie, just simply Yankees from Nipawin. So keep your text coming. I'm on the Yankees train as well. Jamie's on the Yankees train. Scotty, the producer, not sure why, but he said Red Sox.
I just like a Yankees-Jays rivalry more than anything.
That's appealing. But there isn't the Red Sox-Jays rivalry. It's
well, they're all AL East rivals, right? So
there is a little more juice to squeeze from the Yankees rivalry.
Well, especially this year.
You know, the Yankees, they're not a good team. I don't care what their record is. They have a lot of wild pitches. They make a lot of mistakes in the field. They don't run the bases very well. If they don't hit home runs, they don't have a chance to win.
But they can hit home runs. That's the problem. They finished second in the AL East because of that.
A little more fire this year between the Jays and the Yankees with those comments from the legend, Buck Martinez.
Buck Martinez.
That is 6:05 first pitch tonight with the Jays and, or sorry, the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Tom is going with the Red Sox. The Yankees are too powerful. So that's fair. I think that there is a conversation that the Jays play well against good pitching. They hit well against teams that pitch well.
They just took on the Red Sox and lost 2-3.
I know. That was hard
Garrett
to watch.
Crochet is going to go in there in game one and throw 190,000 pitches. And, well, if he's that high, he's getting hit all over the place. So let's just keep it at 100.
And Mark wants the Yankees.
Shut him down. Well, Tom says the Yankees are too powerful. And that's where, bottom of the ninth inning, in a close game, you want Jeff Hoffman going up against Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton?
Here you are with the Hoffman thing again.
I don't want to be the I told you so guy, but I have a feeling these playoffs, there's going to be a day I'm going to have to come on the radio and say, told you so, with Jeff Hoffman as the closer of the Toronto Blue Jays. Jamie Locker with you here on a Thursday afternoon. Our CFL insider Dave Naylor is coming up a little bit later on to talk more about all the speculation, all the conspiracy theories that he has faced and has been asked about.
CFL's moving to the United States of America.
They're merging with the UFL. The NFL is going to take over the Canadian Football League. Back to Memphis Mad Dogs. And they're going to be four down football by 2026. Next year, they're just going to be like, you know what? Now we're going to go to four down football, suckers. And so Dave Naylor is going to address some of those rumors coming up. And Britton Gray, a full look at the Rough Riders roster changes ahead of their game against the Ottawa Redblacks on
Redblacks
Friday night. That is tomorrow. But we continue our NHL preview series with a stop in Calgary. As Salim Valji joining us from TSN in Calgary on a look at the Calgary Flames. But let's start with their big news today. The head coach, Ryan Huska, signs a 2-year extension. Was this a no-brainer from his first year with the Flames, or his first few years with the Flames?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's been a really, really good fit. I think that first season just was such tumultuousness with the number of veterans moving on, but he's done a really good job. I think players really value his communication skills and just what a hockey mind he is. He's a student of the game. He tweaks his systems. Craig Conroy said today, even him having Jonathan Huberdeau on the penalty kill last season kind of shows that he's open to different ideas, some a little bit more off the wall than others. But it's been a good fit, and you remember he developed as an American League coach over here. He's that rare assistant that's gone to be a good head coach with the same team, and it seems like players really enjoy playing for him, that's for sure. And I think they wanted stability, and this has been a little bit of a rotating cast of coaches in recent years, right? So it's good to have that stability, and I think Huska, he has a good demeanor for it, and I think the coaches, the veterans and young players really respect and appreciate playing for him.
I always sort of, I feel a kindred spirit with Ryan because we have a similar just visiting look. Ryan did look a little uncomfortable behind the bench at times. Do you find that he is changing? Does he seem a little bit more comfortable as he puts a bit more time behind the bench?
I'd say so, yeah. I think, again, that first season when you had the likes of Chris Tanev and Noah Hannafin and, Jacob Markstrom causing drama, I imagine that's a really tough environment to walk into as a head coach. It was very unsettled. It was a tougher group to coach, whereas you look at it now, his first kind of season last season where things were settled, there was not a ton of roster movement, well, he nearly gets the team into the playoffs, right? And a lot of that is because of Dustin Wolf and Nazem Kadri and others. But, instilling a defense-first mentality, getting guys to buy in, leaning on a group of 6 or 7 key veterans, I don't think that's easy, right? I don't think that's the easiest thing to do. But he did it. They managed Wolf really well. They got the best out of Matt Coronato. He's found very capable duos and trios up and down the lineup. He coaxed a solid season out of Jonathan Huberdeau. There's a lot to look at in that second season particularly and think, this guy has improved a lot. He continued to tweak systems and whatnot. And I think the uncomfort probably just stems from walking into such a tumultuous situation in his first season as a head coach. And I think he's done a good job of communicating. Players rave about the honesty from him. And he does so in a very kind way, which isn't easy to find either. So I think the uncomfort is probably past, and it's clear he's got a mandate, right? Get the team into the playoffs, see them into the new rink with a team that's challenging for more than just the playoff spot, but winning a round or two. And this is, I think, a coach that'll grow with the team, and you don't see that every day, right?
Salim, I'm drive by the rink for us right now. What's it look like in downtown Calgary?
Yeah.
I haven't been downtown in a while.
And where is it? Where is it in relation to the Saddle Dome?
It's right across the street.
Okay.
So it's a confusing trek. It is fun to see. It adds an extra few minutes to the commute, but you want nice things, you have to pay prices, right? It's fun to see and kind of looking at their plans for even hotels coming up around the rink that have been confirmed and. Having that practice facility and sort of a link to world famous 17th Ave, it's going to be a really cool stretch in just a couple years, and it's going to vault Calgary as a whole. I think the whole deal itself was a little controversial, but it's going to be fun to see the city take that next step in having high end concert acts that come to us now instead of skipping over us, and having a world-class arena that's sort of modeled after Detroit, and the quality of free agents probably increases, and there's a lot to look forward to. It's a pain to navigate, as I noticed multiple times a day, but I'm willing to pay that price, and it's going to be really fun. It's a massive hole in the ground right now, and it's cool to think what's ahead, guys. It's exciting.
So when you look at the Calgary Flames, going back, last year, winning streak at the end, a tiebreaker was the difference between them making the playoffs or not, but Chicago had one more goal than the Flames all of last season. Like, that, to me, I was wild on the lack of offense in Calgary. Where are they going to get more goals? How are they going to generate more offense? Because they have the goaltender. They have the blue line. Will they have a better offense this season?
That's a good question, right? And I don't think they're actually tweaking those systems a ton in that regard, but I look at Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost, particularly Frost, given he's got more of an offensive skill set. I think that's where it lies, right? If you can, if Backlund's your matchup center and Kadri's your offensive center, well, what does that leave Morgan Frost as? And I think they have high hopes for him. He was skating with Jonathan Huberdeau and Matt Coronato, and I think if they can coax a 55 to 65 point season out of Frost, that'll be good, right? And despite them having, being around the Chicago Blackhawks, like, the Flames are just one goal away from making the playoffs last season, which you can't forget, right? This is always going to be a defense-first outfit, but by the same token, they do have players that can produce. Kadri had 35 last season. We'll wait to see what Huberdeau's injury is. He wasn't skating today, but I think they're capable of more, especially since Matt Coronato has a real offensive two and two-way bench to his game. It's just, I think Morgan Frost might be kind of the dark horse here, and whether they can get a good season out of him and have a legitimate second line center, because that could alleviate pressure off of Kadri and perhaps free up Backlund to do some different things.
Goaltending shouldn't be much of a distraction for the upcoming season with Wolf signing 7 years. Getting it done before the puck drops in the regular season, which is good news. How did fans respond to that deal, Salim?
I think they were really positive. I think Wolf kind of showed over the summer, like, he was out and about around town. He could have gone anywhere, but he decided to stay in Calgary. He was at the Stampede, hobnobbing with Shania. Like, I think people appreciated that, and he's, I think he, I've always gotten the sense that he values the Flames took a flyer on him in the seventh round. Like that's not just talk. It's not just something he tells the media. I think he's probably got a little sentimental pull to the Flames in Calgary, and as the organization that sort of enabled his NHL aspirations to come to fruition. And he's got a good relationship with Jason LaBarbera, the head coach. It's a really good signing, and he's a kid from Northern California, and over here, there's some understandable PTSD about Americans that have left in recent years, but having him commit long term, I think it's really exciting, because it's a massive check mark to the ingredient list, right? Where you've got a budding star goalie in the league, that's a huge win, and you didn't have to use a first overall pick for that either. And now, in addition, you've got Coronato, who's also American. He's a top six forward that can contribute at both ways. They're checking off these boxes, and there's a few that remain, but the Wolf one, I think, really tugged at people's heartstrings, because they saw him around here all summer, and on top of that, he's American, and he decided to make Calgary his home, and that's a conversation that's been happening more and more here in recent months.
Okay, let's get to Rasmus Anderson, a final year of his deal. Already the questions have been asked to him, but is this going to be something that won't go away? Or is this a pending trade at the deadline? Where is the future of the Flames with one of their top defensemen?
I have a hard time handicapping that. I love dealing with Anderson. He's one of the funniest human beings I've met in any walk of life. I think the door's still open, because there's a really strong and genuine affection between player and team. He's embraced a leadership role. It's very common to see him out there with Zane Parekh right now, giving the future generation some tips and feedback. He chirps the young players. He chirps the media. He's a really likable personality. And I think the organization, like, they built something here. The culture last season was really strong, and it started with Conroy and filtered down to Huska and Backlund. But Anderson was a big part of that. He stands up for players in the media publicly. He's out there after tough losses. He defends his teammates and himself from what he calls the Twitter monsters. He's all in, right? And I think because of that, it's kind of like Ross and Rachel from Friends. Like, is the door really ever shut, even if they're seeing other people? Well, probably not.
Didn't have that on my bingo card for today.
We were on a break!
Neither did I, frankly. But I
good pull.
I guess I'd say, you know, I think the door is always going to be open until it isn't. They value everything he brings to the table, but there's an irony in him teaching Parekh on the ice every day, given Anderson told us last season at the end that, you know, I know that there's only a certain number of slots for right shot defensemen, and he wants to play a lot as well, and Parekh's got to develop as well. So I think the door's still open. They want to see how this season starts. They've got a tough schedule ahead to start the campaign, but it's like that TV series. Hey, you can never say never, because there is such a genuine love between player and organization.
I struggle with this team because I'm in the ABC camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I do like the makeup, and you got a handful of players. Like, I'm like, oh, that, they got such good characters in the Flames. Mm-hmm. Right. And one of them, Justin Kirkland. So he gets hurt after what, which is just a fantastic story. Him, you know, coming in late in his career. So Costco status, I know he's been playing some preseason games. Have you had a chance to witness what he's been able to do so far? And do you think he's going to crack this lineup?
Well, they waived Rory Cairns today, right? So I think that tells you odds are Kirkland's going to be back in the line and on the team. It's a feel-good story. I don't think he's necessarily distinguished himself in camp, and I really like the person. He, like you said, to come back from that injury, to come back from everything he's gone through is fascinating. I think he'll start the season with the team, and they like his habits. They like the attention to detail away from the puck. He knows what he is at this point. He's a fourth line center, a really good influence on other guys. Like Anthony Mantha was raving about how those two both had season ending injuries, and it was Kirkland that was keeping Mantha's spirits up and helping him through rehab. The fact they waived Cairns today is an indicator that Kirkland will at least start as the 13th. They've had Postecoglou as a center at times, but this is an organization that is forced to make some tough calls because they've got a lot of young players, including Matt Big Gridden, that are knocking on the door. It's just a question of, I think for Kirkland, he doesn't have a crazy amount of versatility. It's like, he's not going to play up in the lineup. So will he be an everyday player? I'm not sure, but it seems like he's made the team, and it's a fun human interest story, and he's a really good guy.
Okay, final question. You know, no sweat on this one. Wait, only about 30 seconds, though. Should Flames fans, should my boss down the hallway get ready for playoff hockey for the Calgary Flames this year?
I don't see it. I don't. I it's such a likable group, but I don't see it this season. We wait to see if Huberto's hurt as well. That's a could be a tough start to the season, but I don't see it. And I wish I had a different opinion, but I'd be you're good with not having plans in the spring after April 15th ish, I would say, which I say, unfortunately, because it is a very likable group of
It definitely is. Salem, thanks so much for your time, and probably have you back closer to the playoffs to talk about those Stampeders that are...
Yeah, big news out of them this week.
But not in the playoffs, apparently.
Well, but Salem, have a good one. Thanks for your time.
Talk to you soon, guys. Take care.
That is Salem Valji joining us, TSN Calgary, on a look at the Flames.
Coming up next, the tweet that changed everything for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. That historic moment.
Had a big day today on this day in sports history on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
that Fritz Favre remembers.
Behind the net, the Sanders, and Orr! Bobby Orr!
Game series! Toronto has won!
On this day in sports history, it was October the 2nd, 2013, Darian Durant gets fined by the Canadian Football League for responding to a fan on social media and calling that fan a dumb bleep.
You know what, I just let my frustration get to me and let something go that I should have just kept inside. So whatever repercussions or consequences come our way, so be it. But I shouldn't have taken it there. I just think that with the lack of Grey Cups, the fans here are hungry. And I'm even more hungry than they are because I'm the one who's out there. I'm the one who's taking the pounding. I'm the one who's, you know, feeling the loss more than they do. So nobody wants to win more than me. So I understand the frustration, and I'm just trying to get this Grey Cup.
That was after four straight losses. They would go on a three-game winning streak after that tweet and that fine. Clinching second spot, home field.
Who is the fan? Did we ever find out?
I forget the guy's name. At Jimmy Dumb Bleep on Twitter. And they actually deleted their social media account after Darian tweeted them because
Rider Nation
went after him.
But I call it the tweet that changed the 2013 season.
Yeah.
Four-game losing streak. Darian Durant was fired up. And the Riders would go on, of course, to win the Grey Cup.